What's going on, Grace Family Church? How is it going? I'm so excited that we are back this weekend. And hey, we haven't done this in a while, so I think we ought to do this. Let's do some shout outs.
Come on.
To all of our campuses, starting with Land O'Lakes, who's out there.
Wait, I want
to
hear you. Land O'Lakes, I know. Come on, in the room right now, loud.
How about Van Dyke? Van Dyke Campus, let's go. Hey. That was good. That was really, really good. Let's keep going. Let's
keep going south.
Waters.
Waters in the house. Are you in the house, Waters?
I can hear him.
Te escucho, Aguas. Waters, where you at? Come on.
I can hear the waters flowing.
And further south, just a few miles, Temple.
Temple Terrace.
Double
T.
Let me hear you. Temple Terrace, loud. Make sure Land O'Lakes can hear you. Come on, Temple.
There they are. Okay, we're almost there.
We're going further south. Who's next?
Ybor, where you at?
Let's go, Ybor City. Woo! Yes, and finally, last but not, never least, south. Tampa. Let me hear you, South Tampa.
South Tampa. Come on. We love you, South Tampa.
Yes. And listen, we're not going to ignore our folks. And you've been a part of this campus. I know you're in the building now. Welcome back. But you've been a part of Church Online. So if you're online right now and you're watching this too, go in the comments, all caps, say hello, emoji, welcome somebody, share this with somebody, invite them to Church Online because we're all part of this Grace family.
Absolutely. Hey, and we want to keep things rolling into the summer. We love being a part of our community and doing great things in our community. Serve Saturday, July 11th. We are getting together and we are going to make a difference in this community.
How can they sign up? What do they have to do?
How do they sign? You got to register by July 8th. We got to make sure we do it right before so that we can see how many people are coming. We can plan, we can get it ready to be the best experience, the most effective experience for you. Serve Saturday, July 11th, but sign up by July 8th, please. We would love to have you come out.
That's it. And one more thing we've been working on, and I want you to experience it today, right here in the building, is our new app. Now, the team's been working hard. It's about to get released. But if you visit gfcflorida.app, www.gfcflorida.app, you're going to get a sneak peek, brand new notes, digital connection card, new ways to give, announcements, groups, you name it. It's going to be there. Even links to all of our fun GFC zone stuff.
You got to look at the zone stuff.
Come on.
Don't miss the zone stuff.
United Exchange. Everybody's going to be there. So gfcflorida.app. You can go on your phone right now. We're going to give you like a few seconds. It's gfcflorida.app. Go click notes. Be ready for today's teaching because Pastor Matt's got a great word for us today.
Absolutely. Well, it's been about 3 months.
Yep.
But now it's true that yes,
we're
open.
How's everybody doing? Welcome all of our campuses and everyone watching online. This is for the first time in a long time I'm speaking in front of an audience, so that's going to be, it's almost weird to not speak to empty chairs. But we're doing that and excited to be here. And I just want to know, I want to thank all those who are coming out this weekend to help us restart this, kind of get this reopening process going. We also want to thank everyone who's watching online. We know that some folks can't wait to get here. Some folks are like, hey, we love you, but we're going to wait. We're going to watch online. Wherever you are, we're all trying to adjust to the new normal and figure things out. But we want you to know that we are here for you whenever you need us. At our locations, online, on demand, wherever, we're here when you need us. Now, for over 3 months, we were a church with no buildings. And which is a good thing because the church is the people. And I think sometimes we got to remember that, right? The church really is our people. So the church went on without the buildings. Today, we start that process of regathering. Today, we reopen the doors to the buildings. But I want to remind us that the church is always the people, regardless of what's going on with the buildings. Because buildings don't reach people. People reach people. And the thing is, you can open all the buildings you want all over Tampa Bay, but if the people, if our lives are not open to people who need hope, if our hearts are not open to people who need Christ, then again, you can reopen all the buildings, it won't matter. And what I want to do is, I want to challenge us this weekend as we open the doors out there to open the doors in here. And here's what I mean. If you follow Jesus, someone opened the door for you. Someone invited you into their life, and because of that invite, you invited Christ into your life. I can tell you how it happened for me. It was kind of unusual. I got invited to church by my friend Stephen because he said, listen, I went to this youth group. It's full of girls. We got to go. So 15-year-old Matt went, right? That's what I did. And I did not fit in with this crew. They were weird. It was like hanging with a bunch of librarians. They were just not very fun. I apologize if you're a librarian. But I didn't like the music. The music was really lame compared to what I was listening to. I made jokes during the sermons, a lot of them out loud. It just wasn't my thing. But my friend kept going, so I kept going. And kind of what happened was no one was trying to correct me. No one was trying to straighten me up. No one was saying those kind of things to me. I'm sure a few parents were a little concerned when I rolled up in the house for some pizza. Kind of think they're like, oh, okay, he's here. Then let's, okay, what do we need to hide in the house kind of a thing, right? But they kept inviting me. And all I kept hearing was, come hang out with us over here. Come hang out with us over there. And something happened eventually. Eventually, I stopped heckling the preacher, and I started listening to what he was saying. And eventually, I started trying to think about these lyrics of these songs I didn't like and trying to figure out what that was about. And eventually, over time, I met Jesus, and he changed everything. But I don't know that I would have met Jesus had I not met people who were an open door for me. And the question is, who opened the door for you? And maybe the bigger question today is, who do we need to open the door for? I've always loved the Message paraphrase of this verse. Matthew 5:16 says this. It says, keep open house, be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I always love that because what it's basically saying is this, is that if we have an open door to people that we disagree with, disapprove of, and don't understand, then congratulations, you are living out the gospel. You are doing exactly what God wants you to do, because when we open up our lives, that's how God opens up hearts, right? We kind of point and say, I wish those folks would change. Well, if you invite them in, God's like, I might do a little something like that, right? That might happen. It's why Jesus also said this in Matthew 5. Look with me again here, verse 14. He said, you are the light that gives light to the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden, and people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand so the light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. Now that's an interesting one to me because Jesus says, at one point in the Bible, he says, I'm the light in the world. And then he points to us and he says, now you're the light of the world. And he says that I want you to be a direction in the darkness. I want you to be a compass in the chaos. And to understand when Jesus says light of the world, let me show you a little something about light that I found very interesting. See, there's a light right over there that is shining on me, but you can't really tell it's there because there's all these other lights around. But if we do this, then what you find out is now you see it. And that light makes a lot more difference in the dark. And the same is true for you. If you are a light that's always around just other lights, your light is not making that much difference. But if you can shine your light in dark places, that's where it makes the most difference. Let me tell you, it's true. It really is true. The difference is made in the dark. The difference really is made in the dark. All right. We installed the clapper from the 90s. Anyway, the reason why I bring this up is that difference being made in the dark is in contrast to a lot of times the struggle that we have, because oftentimes, and we don't mean to do this, but sometimes we kind of live in a bubble. Right, and that's where the difference is not made, right? You know, the bubble, if you ever wondered, am I living in a bubble? It's really a simple question. Are the people you hang around, do they believe like you do, think like you do, and act like you do? And if that's true, then yes, you are in a bubble, right? And we don't always know when we do that. We don't always mean to do that. But the problem is, as a Christian, we have to keep being bubble breakers in our life. You have to intentionally evaluate your life and go, does everybody agree with me? That's probably not a good thing, right? Does everybody act like me, think like me, look like me? That's probably not a good thing, right? Because what Jesus calls that is hiding the light under a bowl, okay? And you can say bubble if you want to, but you can say he hides it under a bowl because it's not in the dark places. It's not really making a difference. Because the thing is, and this is the challenge, is that Jesus wants the light for all the people in the house. Not just these folks, all the people. If you don't believe me, look at Matthew 5:15. He says, and people don't hide a light under a bowl or in a bubble. They put it on a lampstand so the light shines for all the people in the house. Quite simply put, let me just say this to you, whether you're on campus or online. People in dark places need your light. I'm going to say that again because you're like, well, they need somebody else's light. No, they need your light. That's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to be about. And if we're in a difference, if we're in a bubble, it's hard to make a difference in those dark places. See, a lot of people talk about change, but I'm a big believer that change is not always some big initiative. That change is not having massive influence. And if you really want to see change, sometimes change is just an invitation. It's an invitation from my life to yours. It's probably how you found Jesus. Because that change happened because Jesus got a hold of you. But before you met Jesus, there was someone else you met. There was an open door that led to that change. And I believe that others will meet Jesus if we invite them into our lives, if the door is open. Now, I bring that up because I want to show you something that I'm really, really excited about, okay? I want to show you something that has really fired me up about this, because I know for some people, they're like, this is a little uncomfortable, right? But let me tell you something that might pump you up, might get you excited about this, okay? The question is, at all of our campuses and online, are you ready to see it? No, I really mean it. Are you ready to see it? Okay, I want to show it to you. So here we go, okay? So now I want to show you something that I bet you didn't know, and I'm going to show you how I got there. This is the wonderful, most amazing place in the world, the Tampa Bay area, right? Now, Tampa Bay, if you stop around Brooksville and you stop below, you know, right before you get to Bradenton, this is the whole area that they call the Tampa Bay area. Tampa Bay is 2.783 million people. Now, to talk about where do we fit in that, Grace Family Church is one of the largest churches in Tampa Bay. We have 6 locations. And on a weekend, any weekend, a normal weekend, usually we're around 11,500 people. Now, you may go, well, that's awesome. The challenge is, with a church living in the city, that is 0.4% of the people living in Tampa Bay. Not even 0.5%, right? So you go, well, there's some work to be done. Yeah, there sure is. But some of you may go, well, yeah, but Matt, a lot of people go to church. Well, let's talk about that. In 2010, the United States did a religious census, okay? And there was this U.S. religious census went out, and they found out that there's 51 metro areas in the United States. And what that means is a metro area means over 1 million people. And Tampa Bay is one of them. And when it comes to, they ask these 51 metro areas, how many people go to church? Tampa ranks 50th out of 51 when it comes to church attendance in the United States. The only city going to hell faster is Portland, Oregon. So if you're from Portland, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but Portland, Oregon is the only city in the entire nation that attends church less than we do. Now, let me show you what that number looks like. It's pretty interesting. So what they found out was, basically this. In Tampa Bay, 34.7% of people go to church. That's about 971,000 people. Now just let that sink in. In contrast, more people go to church in Las Vegas, Sin City, than go to church in Tampa Bay, because they're like above 35, almost 36. So to just kind of sit, let that sink in a little bit. It's kind of a hard stat. It's hard to get hold of. And out of that 34.7%, Grace Family Church represents almost a percent. Okay, so you look at this, look at the communities, look at the cities, look at the things we live in, and this is what's really interesting to me. 971,000 people say they go to church, but then you look and it's 65.3% that don't. Over 1.8 of the 2.7 million. So, if you look at that chart, it's safe to say this. Two out of three people living in Tampa Bay don't belong to a church or faith. Two out of three. When you're driving down Del Mabry or Kennedy or wherever you are, two out of three of those folks go nowhere. May not affiliate with anything. Now, I don't say that to be discouraging, because that does not discourage me at all. That gets me really, really excited, because I realize the opportunity we have and the work that we can do and the good that can be done in one of the most unchurched areas in the country. It makes me think about a story that Jesus told that you pretty much could tell about Tampa Bay. And here's the story he told, because really Jesus was one of those people that got in trouble a lot because he hung out with those two out of three. And the one out of three didn't like it, and they're like, come on over here, man. There's less of us, right? You know, come on, hang out with us. And he wants to hang out with the two out of three, and he gets in a lot of trouble for that. Let me show you kind of one of the instances where that happened. Look at Luke 15:1. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. And this made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus would get this question all the time. If you were serious about your faith, if you were serious about your Christian, if you were serious about these things and being holy and all stuff, why would you ever hang out with these people? You're doing it wrong, right? Why would you do this? And Jesus has to deal with it because the bubble folks are upset, right? The bubble people are mad. They're like, look, you are just, he made them so mad, later they kill him, right? I mean, that's how much the anger was there. He was upsetting them the way he was doing this. And they were basically telling him, your associations with these two out of three are really bothering the one out of three. So Jesus is trying to go, okay, can I talk to you about why I'm doing that? Can I explain the scene? And he tells this story. And this story is not one of the most popular ones in the Bible, but it's a very intriguing one that gives you an idea how Jesus thought. Look at this in verse 3. It says, so Jesus told them this story. He said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have not strayed away. Now, a lot of people hear this story and think, this is a really weird story. Why in the world would you leave 99 sheep to go look for one? That doesn't make sense, right? I mean, why would you go find one? Wouldn't you just write that one off? And let me give you kind of a modern equivalent of that. Let's say you took 10 kids to Busch Gardens and you lost one. You wouldn't say, well, 9 out of 10 isn't that bad. I mean, I didn't like that kid anyway, right? I mean, you really wouldn't say that. No. You would make sure the 9 were safe, because now 1 is in danger. And you wouldn't want to go find the one that was in danger. The point is, 99 are safe, but 1 is in danger. One, and for us, that one isn't a sheep, But that could be that one is a person who's in danger of losing hope. They're in danger of coping with their pain in destructive ways. They're in danger of living a self-centered life that is never going to fulfill them. They're in danger. And Jesus says there's more joy to God when one who was in danger comes home. And I know that kind of strikes you a little funky because you're like, well, I bring joy to God too. He's very happy with me. I got a streak on the Bible app one time, and I bet he liked it, right? And I mean, don't get me wrong. We do bring joy to God. God absolutely enjoys a relationship with us. He deeply loves us. That's there. But Jesus says this stickler phrase, and he doesn't back off. He says, but there's more joy when one who was in danger comes home. And I believe that the reason why there's more joy is because there's more joy when one more finds hope. When one more finds peace, when one more finds Christ, now there's more to celebrate. There's more things going on. And the thing is there's always going to be joy for the Christian to receive God's love, but there is more joy when we give that love out and other people find Jesus. They meet Jesus because they met us. And what I want to tell you, and if you've read the Bible a little bit, you'll know what this means. If we treat the Great Commission as a great suggestion, we will miss out on a great life. It really is our mission and the reason why we're here. The truth is, we have a limited time to make an unlimited impact. 2 out of 3. Think about that. Now, I get a lot of heat sometimes because I get a little too laser focused on this. If you've worked with me at the church at all, and a lot of folks have, they know that I really want to focus on the people we're trying to reach, not always on the ones that are already here, because I'm like, we're all going to heaven. Let's get over here, right? And I can get pretty strong about it, too strong about it. But let me tell you why I'm that way. Let me tell you that's why my heart. Number one is because I was one that needed to be found. And so I want to honor everybody who opened the door for me by keeping that door open, making sure those doors are open, not only in our church and in our life, that's what we are about at Grace Family Church, right? But also in my personal life, I can't talk it if I don't walk it, you know? It's that thing of walk across, meet the neighbor, say hello to this person, those kind of things. But also the second reason is this, and I kind of think about it, and I mean, you might think this is funny, but I will have to hang out with Christians for eternity. I don't even get a choice in that. Like, I mean, that's just going to be the way it is, you know? And I'm laughing, but like, we're all going to heaven if you believe in Jesus. So let's catch up while we're playing a harp, okay, or something, or whatever we're doing. But listen, we only have so much time here. And all I'm saying is, I'm not saying I don't hang out with anybody, but what I'm saying is this, I at some point have to make decisions based on the fact that I have so much time to make an impact. And I don't know when my number is going to be called. And so I want to be active in that. I want my heart to be not just for my brothers and sisters in the 1 out of 3, but for the people who need hope in the 2 out of 3. Because the buildings, we can open the doors, but if our lives aren't open, if those doors aren't open, it won't make a difference, will it? Jesus talked about one person needing hope. The only trick is in Tampa Bay, we can add 1,282,400 people at least to that. But it really does start with one. It really does start with one. And I think, guys, sometimes we get intimidated because we think that people in that 2 out of 3 are looking for answers. When in reality, sometimes they're just looking for an invitation. Sometimes they're just looking for an open door. I don't need all the answers. I don't know all the answers, but will you invite me into your life? Can we get to know each other? One person who feels far from God could find God's love and acceptance. How? Because they met our love and our acceptance first. Because we said, you absolutely should be in my heart, in my home, in my life. And that is what it's all about. You know, the thing is, sometimes I feel like as Christians, we try to fix people and we're not honest about the fact that we don't do a very good job fixing ourselves. I'm really bad at this, but I will come fix you, right? It's like, no thanks. You know, I don't need that mechanic, okay? Like, I don't want that in my life. Well, my car blew up, but let me come over here with a wrench. No, you stay over there, right? We're not called to fix anybody. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the thing is that God will open their heart if we're willing to open the door. It's a challenge. 1,800,000, I mean, gosh, woo, lots, so many people, right? I mean, I can't get my head around it. 1.8 million people, 2 out of 3 in Tampa Bay. The challenge is really simple. This week, invite one into your life. You don't have to do them all. That's going to be really hard to pull off, right? But one. Because God is willing to do transformation if we are willing to be an invitation. Let's be about that. Let's pray together. Father, I come to you right now and just ask that for everybody, no matter where they are right now, God, that we'll look in our hearts and look in our lives and realize the truth about the area we live in, the truth about our city, is so many people are looking for hope, looking for help, living in dark places that need the light of Christ in that. But Father, we want to be that invitation. We want to be that open door. Sometimes, God, it is really hard for us to be friends and be close with people that we don't agree with, don't approve of, don't understand. But God, will you soften our hearts to have the heart of Jesus, to have relationships with the 2 out of 3, so that maybe one day they'll find hope and find Jesus. We know that you are in the work of opening people's hearts. Let us this week be in the work of opening doors. In Jesus' name, amen.